All right, welcome in everyone. This is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today I'm doing another live stream. We're going to do some birth chart readings. I'm going to promote my Kickstarter a little bit and hopefully give people some tips for reading charts. If you're studying astrology at home, if you're learning to read charts for other people, hopefully this will be beneficial to those of you who are trying to learn more about how to do that. And also, hopefully we'll be able to help a few people in particular with their charts today. Tell me where you're coming from as you're tuning in here. I'd love to hear it. And I'm going to use a little 30-second intro video to get things rolling before we start here as people are coming in. Right. Well, welcome in, everybody. It's nice to see people here. I'm reading where you guys are coming from. We've got Berlin and from the UK. Lots of people coming in from all over the place. It's really interesting to see Katerina from Ecuador. We have Jessica from New Hampshire. And let's see here. Gosh, they're coming in so quick, I can't even keep up with them. From Quebec, a few people from Quebec. Melissa from bed with COVID. Oh, no. That sucks. I hope you're feeling better soon. Kelsey from Cincinnati. And let's see here, going all the way up. Brandy coming in from Saginaw. Love it. Love the Michigan. Love my Michigan people. And Jennifer from Houston, Texas. And let's see, moving up here from Indianapolis. Carlos coming in from Spain. Miss Fortune coming in from Charlotte. Love it. So good to hear, where you guys are coming in from. It's always interesting to me. Well, this hopefully means that you're not out shopping somewhere in the madness that is the day after Thanksgiving in the United States. So I refuse. I'm not, I don't go out. I don't do that whole thing, but if you do some Christmas shopping, I guess, and you get a good deal, I guess that's okay. But lots of people coming in from Baghdad, Massachusetts, Anne from Wales, Elise from Philly. Amazing. Really cool to have all of you here. Today's agenda is like this. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my Kickstarter. I'm here to promote the Kickstarter and do some readings. So I'm going to tell you about that and how you can help us and maybe get a cool reward when you donate. And then I will go into reading some charts. I think we're going to go probably do 4 chart readings or so today. And as I go through those chart readings, I'll just be giving you advice for how to read charts in general. And hopefully that's helpful to those of you who study astrology at home. And then we'll wrap up for the day. I think I'll probably be doing, I try to do 1 or 2 of these a week during Kickstarter season because it helps me grow the support for the Kickstarter, and hopefully it gives something good back to all of you for just being patrons and being such an awesome audience too. So that's the idea behind this. Let me see here. Before we get too much further into it, I am going to put the link to the Kickstarter into the chat box, into the live stream chat box. If you are tuning into this later, you will find the chat. You will find that it is in the description to the description of the video, or you will find that it is in the comments section below. So every year for the last days of the year, I hold a fundraiser to support this channel. Some people do something like Patreon. I do a Kickstarter every year, and I ask people who subscribe to this channel, who get something good out of it, whether it's, every single day of the week, or if it's, once a month or a couple times a year, it has an impact on your life. Meaning you take away something from this work and the research and talks that I put together that changes your life for the better, teaches you something about astrology that you didn't know before, that if you fall into that category and you appreciate the work, that you consider pitching in and helping us reach our goal. So our goal for this year is to get to 1,608 backers. And our goal is to do that by the new year. Right now, as I'm looking at it, we're at about 267 backers, which is just we've actually caught up a little bit. I think I told you guys last time, we're a little behind the pace that we really wanted to be at. We're not too far behind it now, though. Like, we're catching up. The past few days, you guys have been pitching in. More people have been showing up and pitching in. And so we're catching up to where we want to be, which is a really good sign. And I just want to say such a big thank you to everyone who's already donated. Again, you'll find the link to the Kickstarter in the comments of this video or in the description of the video. For now, I'm going to put it in. I'll put it into the chat a few times just so you can find it and click on it if you want. When you go over there, you'll see the number of backers, and our base financial goal is $150,000. That's like sort of, if we get there, we'll be able to take care of all of our bare minimum. If we get to 1,608 backers, our projection is that the finances at that point will be able to support not only like our staff and production and everything like that for the year, but it will be able to support the building of our donation-based reading clinic. And that is our big goal for the year ahead. That is a goal that, it's ambitious, but what we want to do is we want to have a service where people can come and get a reading for an affordable cost. I have that affordability built into all of my programs. I have 4 years worth of programs. They all have like a donation or sliding scale basis for people who are low income or struggling financially, but want to learn a spiritual science like astrology. One of the things that some ancient astrologers said that I've always taken to heart is that astrology, because it's a spiritual topic that is for the betterment of human life, should be easy of access. And so I want a reading service through my school that is easy of access for people of all income ranges. So when you support our project, you are directly supporting the development of that mission in the year ahead. In addition, when you support us, and the Kickstarter does well, it takes the pressure off from everything else so that we don't really have to have a bottom line when it comes to programs, which is why we can do tuition assistance and scholarships and make things available for other people. It's when people who have a little bit more pitch in, and usually it's a very small percentage of our audience. We're talking about, 1,600 people and 1,608 people out of 50,000 nearly. So we need a very small percentage of our audience to say, I love this. I appreciate it. I'm going to pitch in and support. I know a lot of people who watch this aren't financially able to. And so we totally get that. And we appreciate it if you just pray for us and say, hey, I'm just going to light a candle on the altar and just pray that this channel that I love and get something out of will find that support that it's looking for. So, we appreciate that too. We know not everyone can donate. We get that. So, when you donate, there's some rewards you can choose. We have a Astrology of 2023 calendar. We have the Astrology of 2023 video, which I don't release anywhere else, covering all the major transits of 2023. A bunch of talks that I've done that are more geared for students of astrology. The year ahead horoscope reading for your sun or rising sign that I don't release anywhere else. That goes over all of your major transits for the year for your sun or rising sign. I have different kinds of readings, like get a package of 3 horary readings where you can ask 3 questions throughout the year with horary, and I do those personally for you. There's a mini reading where I look at your birth chart and I say, what is your biggest transit in your birth chart for the next year? And I record that for you personally. And then I think probably the best deal that I offer are sales on the Roots and Spheres class or the Masterclass series. Those are greatly discounted. And then we have all of my 1 year programs. There's 4 years worth of programming in my school. And all 4 years of the program are over 50% off, $400-$500 cheaper than even our early bird rate. And then if you bundle them, that savings goes down even more. And you can redeem those whenever you want. So if you want to take year one and year two, but you're like, I'm not sure exactly when I'll have time, you can redeem them absolutely anytime that you want in the next 3-4 years if you wanted to. So they're just like evergreen. You can always use those. All of our classes are online and correspondence-based, so you can be there live or you can attend remotely. So it's a really good deal. And that's one of the main drivers of the Kickstarter, is when people say, hey, I'm going to pitch in, but I'm also going to pick up my class that way. So here's the link again in the chat box. We thank you guys so much for supporting us. We are very close to being on pace where we want to be. We were earlier this week when I talked to you guys last, I was saying we're about 100 backers behind our target pace per day. We're down to between 50 and 60 backers behind our pace, which means we cut that in half because of the promotion we've done in the past 3 or 4 days, which is outstanding. So thank you very much to everyone, like I said, who's already donated. And again, if you're able to help us get there, we really appreciate it. All right. Well, again, link, I'm putting it into the chat a bunch of times because there's so many things streaming through the chat. But if you go back to any of my videos, or if you go to my website, which is nightlightastrology.com, and you'll see the Kickstarter tab on the website itself. So I'll put this up. So it's nightlightastrology.com. You'll see Kickstarter 2023 tab. You can just click there. We appreciate it. Okay. Well, thank you guys for letting me do that promotion. I really appreciate it. I know you guys are here to get some readings and see some, get some tips for reading. So we'll get into that now. So what I want to do next is ask for anyone who'd like a reading. I'm going to do what I consider to be your transit of the moment, and kind of unpack it for you and tell you what I think you can expect. This is a great thing to do around this time of year, because you can get a feel for, kind of what your next year is going to be like when you start looking at your transits right around this time. So I'll do that for probably, I'll do four charts, I think, today, and try to unpack and give you some deeper advice or guidance for how to do the reading as well. And just make sure you don't share, I'm going to be putting your chart up on the screen and, talking about your chart in front of a live audience. So just make sure you're comfortable with that. Okay, so looking at the chart here, we're going to go with Natasha. All right, Natasha, thank you so much. And we are going to, I got to put in your info here. Okay, just make sure I've read it correctly. So I have September 30th, 1981, Miami, Florida, 2:42 a.m. All right, I'm using whole sign houses. I practice Hellenistic astrology, as most of you know. So I'm actually going to take out the outer planets and sort of simplify the view. One of the cool things about my first year program is that we spend a lot of time on trying to understand the traditional meaning of the seven planets. And when you do that, we do an elimination diet. For my year one program, we don't work with the outer planets at all. Then we bring them back in year two. The effect that has for most people is that, one, you don't realize the extent to which you tend to lean on the outer planets for a lot. And that, two, you don't realize the extent to which you're missing things that the inner planets or traditional seven are saying. And so we do that for the whole first year of my program. And then in the second year, we bring them back in. And when you do that, it's your relationship with the outer planets deepens, and your relationship with the traditional seven planets explodes. It's a really incredible process. So for today, I'm going to take them out and just kind of give you a traditional view of the chart. I'm going to use them by transit, but I'll keep them out otherwise. Now, I guess I need to pull up a bi wheel though, don't I? Okay, here we go. So I want to show you something that you can do. And Natasha, I am going to change my view here a little bit. Whoops. Here we go. All right. So here is a bi wheel that giving us a picture of what's going on in Natasha's chart right now. So one of the things that you can do when you get to, one of the best ways to learn how to read transits is to memorize the positions of the planets every day, even roughly. So for example, I'll just use the outer planets as an example right now. I know by memory, because the outer planets move very slowly, so I can every day, if I look and sort of track where they're going, I have a sense for where they are no matter what. I'm not showing them in the wheel right now, but I could tell you that Pluto lands right around 27, 28 degrees of or might even be 26 still. It's somewhere between 26 and 28 in Capricorn. So I just kind of know that off the top of my head. So I know that Pluto is hovering around this circle that I just put into the wheel. From there, without even, you know, necessarily having it displayed in the bi-wheel, I can simply take that and then look and see, is it conjoining anything? Yeah, the south node of the moon. Is it opposing anything? Well, I mean, it's obviously it's opposing the north node. Is it squaring anything in late Aries? No. In late Libra? No. Right. And then I can repeat that. I can repeat that exact exercise if I have some sense of where the planets are by memory. And this will teach you how to not rely so intensely on your software. And then it becomes really incredible what you can do in time. Someone could tell you, you know, roughly what day of the year they're born on. You know where their sun sign is. And if you know what degree their sun sign is at, then you very quickly can tell how quickly any of the planets are to a conjunction, square, or opposition to the sun, just by hearing someone tell you their birthday. So, you know, the benefits of starting to learn the position of the planets every day, because you just keep track of them every day. You just look at your, even if you have a software program, you just like once a day, you look at it and see where they are. You'll get a feel for how fast they move that becomes integrated into your body rather than having to check a program to tell you every day. And you'll roughly know where they are. For example, I know that Jupiter's just about to turn direct or has turned direct. It's right around the time of turning direct. And so I know that's happening at around the 28th degree of Pisces. I don't need this chart to tell me that. So immediately, you know, if I know that someone is born on the like 2 or 3 days right before the cusp of Aries, like, you know, so that maybe like, you know, March 18th or something like that, well, then I know that Jupiter's conjoined their sun right now. You see what I mean? So there's a lot of benefits, and we talk a lot about this in my programs, of like different tips and tricks that I try to give my students for developing the ephemeris internally. Because the more that you do that over time, the more that you can be a walking transit calculator for people's birth charts. All you have to do is see their chart, and instantly, without even having a bi-wheel, you can plug everything into the chart and look for conjunctions, squares, oppositions, at least to start with, and then you can add trines or sextiles as well. Anyway, so if we were to repeat this process, I know that Neptune is around 22 degrees, so Neptune's somewhere right in here in the eighth house. It's not conjoining anything. And then I can go through the same process, right? It's not conjoining anything right now. It's not opposing anything. It's not squaring anything. And we're looking at the natal inner wheel on either side. So Neptune's not so vocal at the moment. And then I know that Uranus is, I don't know, it's mid-teens in Taurus. I think it's probably 15, something like that. So that's going to be 15 or 16, I think. So it's like right in the middle, you know, and it's not conjoining anything in the 10th house. Is it opposing anything? Well, it's close-ish to an opposition to Venus, close-ish to a square to Mars, nothing in the seventh house. So I could talk about those, although the exact aspect is a little ways away. But the Venus-Mars square that she was born with natally is about to be activated by Uranus in the 10th house of career. So I can just do that in my head, all because I just know how to calculate squares, oppositions, and conjunctions, and because I happen to just memorize roughly what degree Uranus is at. I know that it's going retrograde. I know it's got a station. It's going to take a long time to move forward. So I know it's going to square Mars and Venus, but before it does so, it has to station, turn direct, and it's going to take a while to get there. So that's a possibility for what I might want to talk to a client about, maybe close to the top of my list, but I'm hunting for something that's maybe bigger and maybe more dramatic. If, you know, because I like to start with, you know, what, like, where's the fireworks? You know what I mean? Like make sure you get to the stuff that people are undeniably going, you know, they're going to be like, well, that was a transit, you know, and try to put that at the top of the list. Well, of the outer planets, the one that actually strikes me as most powerful, because I know that Pluto is about to cross into Aquarius. And as soon as it does, it's going to square the moon at 0 degrees of Scorpio in the fourth house. Moon rules the 12th house in this chart. You can see that Cancer, the lot of fortune, the north node are in the 12th house and ruled by this moon in its fall at the IC in the fourth. So what does this mean? Well, not just now, but between now and the end of 2024, as Pluto is working its way into Aquarius and squaring that moon at the IC, which is activating some of the deeper and more challenging emotional and ancestral or family karma dimensions of this birth chart, I know that Pluto is going to be activating that in a very powerful way. So first and foremost, I'm not going to focus on Pluto in the seventh house. I'm going to focus on the moon at the IC, because it's the natal karma that's getting triggered, usually more than it is Pluto in the house it's entering that is going to be important when an aspect happens. Now, you could read Pluto ingressing into a new house at 0 degrees will have an impact on that house that's can be very dramatic. But typically, when you're looking at a transiting planet, what you're thinking first and foremost is what I will be describing will be the natal karma that it is activating or that it is bringing up to the surface, which means in this case, Moon in its fall in Scorpio at the IC as ruler of the 12th fortune and the North Node in the 12th. That little group of symbols in her life, in her birth chart, is what is going to get expressed. And how is it going to get expressed? In a Plutonian way. Then I might secondarily, as like one tier below that, add in that Pluto will be doing the activating as it also ingresses into the seventh house. Okay. But usually people will feel the natal transit, the natal planet getting activated will be the primary thing that people feel. So, and the karma it describes. Okay. So in this case, let's just, you know, use some generic terms for Pluto, like death and rebirth. You know, Pluto is oftentimes where really people get really scared of Pluto. What they don't realize is that almost everybody feels better by the time a Pluto transit is done than when they did at the time that it started, which means you have this very, it both subjectively and objectively, you're like, my life is better now. Thanks, Pluto. And like most people feel that way when a Pluto transit is done, because it will transform your life in an undeniably powerful and often painful way, but in a way that you needed, that was necessary, and that makes you feel healthier or more alive or more whole. Often there's a feeling of cleansing or purgation that comes with a Pluto transit, as most of you probably know. But by the time people complain while it's happening, you know, but when it's over, people are genuinely thankful. Not in all cases, but that's usually what I hear from my clients about Pluto. So you have to keep that in mind, because when you're talking to people about Pluto, when they come to you to speak about Pluto, they'll often freak out. And what you want to tell them, especially if you've had Pluto experiences and they've gone like that for you, is say, you're going to be happier. You're going to feel better for this transit. Give them that encouraging message. So let's just say, though, what is the transformation, and where could that more painful or challenging element be? Because it's also good, you know, forewarned is forearmed. It's good to know what you're getting into in any given karmic season. The moon in its fall at the IC is going to speak potentially to the wounds or baggage that we carry around where we live, how we were raised, our family, our mother, our home, the home environment, the toxicity that was there, the trauma, or in some cases, violence or deaths or losses or grief, or the patterns that people aren't willing to explore in the family. This can also have to do with generational patterns that are carried on from mother to daughter, or within the context of, you know, parents' marriage and how it carries over into, you know, your own marriage or something like that. It can have something to do with the living environment very physically. Okay, there's going to be mold removed from your home or like something super physical like that. But generally speaking, when the moon at the IC is the 12th house ruler, you know, and also it rules the North Node and fortune in the 12th house. So this is a moment probably of emotional turmoil, because it's a watery place that's connected to a lot of water in the chart. So emotional turmoil around roots, family, home, patterns in family, maybe as a secondary topic engaged in marriage or patterns of marriage, relationship, or sexuality in the family that maybe have their roots in mom and dad. And that would be coming from, again, from the fact that the moon can represent those things, but secondarily, Pluto's also entering that seventh house. Now, this will go on for a couple of years. You know, I would say you're getting in the clear of all of this probably by between 2024 and 5. It'll really get started around March of 2023, between March and June of 2023, when Pluto makes its ingress into Aquarius, is when you'll really start to feel this being activated. But even last summer, when Pluto was pretty close to the end of Capricorn, you might have already been feeling some of it. So it should be an interesting thing to witness. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, sometimes people move, they relocate, you know, it could be something a little bit mundane like that. Your literal living environment could change somehow, but it's a process oriented transit. It's, you know, one thing you can always tell a client when they're, especially if they get freaked out by Pluto transit, is it never happens in one day. It a lot of days are very normal, more are normal than not. And during a Pluto transit, you know, some days will be marked by, you know, these themes of transformation, which then most of the time we're working out, you know, internally for a period of time. So, yeah, so that is, that's how that transit is likely to play out for you there, Natasha. And that's the biggest one I can see forming in your chart right now. Okay, well, I hope that was helpful for you, Natasha. And thank you so much for giving us, you know, a chart to talk about. I will go into, blessings and prayers for you that this would be a healing and positive transformation, whatever it brings. Stay in touch too. Feel free to email me anytime. It's info@nightlightastrology.com. If I give you a reading here and you want to tell me like what ends up happening, I always appreciate hearing from people who I give readings to. So, all right. I'm going to take a couple more. Let's see here. All right, we'll do Caitlin. Thank you, Caitlin. All right, make sure I've got this right. So I have October 27th, 1998, 10:05 a.m. in York, Pennsylvania. Now I'm gonna show you how you can do this without a bi wheel. Just to sort of demonstrate. Here is the chart. Thanks again, Caitlin. So let's just look at the chart and sort of eyeball it. Interesting that we have some early degrees in Scorpio coming up again. That's fascinating. Okay, so let's look right away. And here's what I would do right away, just quick. I would be like, okay, Pluto's in the late degrees of Capricorn. Is it conjoining anything in late Capricorn? No. Is it squaring anything in late Libra? No. Opposing anything in late Cancer? No. Opposing anything in late or squaring anything in late Aries? Yes. Okay. It's squaring fallen Saturn in Aries in the fifth house. Okay. That's really fascinating. So that would be maybe one to talk about for sure. So those late, you know, the planets at late in late degrees of Aries, when right now they're all getting hit by the square from Pluto. So it's just like a simple method that you can use. And notice how just because I know where Pluto is, I can plug it in and see the transits really quickly. All right, let's go down to Neptune. Neptune is in Pisces around 22 degrees, not conjoining anything, not opposing anything, not squaring anything. So Neptune a little bit quieter at the moment. Let's go to Uranus. Uranus is in the middle of Taurus. And so we'll just do the same little approach here. Not conjoining anything. It's not squaring anything. It's not opposing anything by degree. And so Uranus, not too loud at the moment. Now you can do the same thing for Saturn. Saturn is around 19 degrees of Aquarius right now. And you could, you know, see that, okay, it's not conjoining anything. Getting close to a square with Mercury, that's a little ways off. Not too far off, actually. So, yeah, and then you go down to Jupiter. You can do the same thing with any of the planets. So you know where Jupiter is. Jupiter is at about 28 degrees right now. So it's right here. It's not squaring anything, not opposing anything, not conjoined to anything. Those are the big ones. Anytime you have a degree-based conjunction, square, opposition, those are typically at the top of my pecking order in terms of how I will arrange the list of things I talk to my clients about. And you don't have to include a bi-wheel, which, as someone just noted in the chat box, Lil Star says, I like this method, easier on my eyes, less visual clutter. Yes, exactly. In fact, one of the big aspects of my training programs is teaching people how to use approaches that at the beginning they might take a little bit to learn, but they make the whole process more intuitive for you. Because one of the things that happens when people are learning astrology is they get too much information on the page that they're looking at or on the screen that they're looking at. They use too many symbols. There's just like too much information. And when there's too much information, economy of craft is almost always going to feed into your artistry, your intuition, being more eloquent, being more concise. You know, my programs are very much about, you don't have to say as many things in a reading as long as you can say them well and connect with a person. That's probably almost always more important than being able to say, 500 things and involving 500 asteroids. And even though I'm totally fine with the asteroids, you get what I'm saying. So, this is interesting. I'm going to focus on one that's more imminent right now for Caitlin. So right now, Mars is retrograding in your seventh house. See, I'm not even plugging it in. I just know that it's Gemini is in the seventh, and I know that Mars is retrograding there right now. I know that as Mars is retrograding in the seventh house, Saturn in Aquarius is heading into a square with Mercury, and Mercury is the ruler of the seventh house because Mercury rules Gemini. So the seventh house ruler is being activated by Saturn, a square from Saturn, at the same time that Mars is retrograde in that house. That's interesting. Okay, let me just throw, we'll throw some spaghetti at the wall and see if it sticks. One thing that could be coming up would be the questions about the emotional intelligence of a partner, questions about, verbal or emotional conflict in relationships, patterns of communication in relationships, patterns of conflict in communication in relationship, different ways of thinking or perceiving, and how those ways of thinking or perceiving affect your relationships, and specifically probably romantic relationships, but it could be broader than that. So that's just an idea. Now, the reason for that is that we're looking at the Gemini, Mars in Gemini in the seventh could bring up conflict and communication and mind stuff or speech in relationships. And especially because we also see Mercury in the 12th house in Scorpio, a Mars ruled sign. And Mars itself is in a Mercury ruled sign. So you do have like mutual reception between Mars and Mercury in your chart. Maybe that makes you slightly more comfortable with a more edgy, combative, and maybe it's even playful dynamic in love and relationships. But certainly the shadow of the 12th house Mercury ruling the seventh would be someone who has more intense, fixed, and emotionally driven patterns, like drinking or sharp speech or something like that. That could be problematic or, that could provide challenges in the relationship, all of which you could be visiting during this time while Mars is in that house. Now, broadly speaking, because you do have Mars in a Mercury ruled sign in a very public place, and Mars is also squaring that natal Mars in the 10th house, it's possible that any of the themes I'm talking about with regard to conflict or communication, emotional, mental health, that kind of stuff could be playing out in your own life or have some bearing on your career or public reputation or the workplace or something like that. But I think it's fascinating that Saturn is squaring Mercury from the third house as well. You get the feeling that if Mercury is causing a person to get in trouble because of intense or obsessive, mental and emotional patterns, that Saturn in Aquarius may ask for more objectivity. Saturn in Aquarius could be about developing a set of skills or abilities that help you, like meditation helps you, process your thoughts about your thoughts, help you look at patterns mentally and emotionally that are helping you or harming you, whether it's in the workplace or in love. The other thing that's kind of like peripheral with Saturn in the third would be the topic of siblings. For example, if a sibling was living at your house because they had to get out of their apartment because they're getting into such bad fights with their boyfriend or husband or something, you could see something like that come up where the topic of marriage and Mercury in the 12th as the ruler of the seventh is being tied into the topic of siblings by virtue of the fact that Saturn's squaring Mercury from the third. So any of those things would be probably at the top of the list. When I worked in DC, I saw some people with Mercury and Scorpio in the 12th who worked in like data security, cyber crimes, the Defense Department in the cyber division. So I also wonder about like secrets and revealing secrets or revisiting something from the past that you thought was hidden, but is coming up to like look at again. Any of those kinds of themes could be possible given the 12th house nature of Mercury, and the fact that Mars's retrograde in the 7th will activate a 12th house Mercury, which again could sometimes play out in terms of like spies, spying, gossip, secrets, deception, things like that. All right, well, those are just some of the themes that are there. Now, there's always this level of a conversation that happens with a client, which is, okay, so what do I do about that, right? Like, nice that you've described, maybe you've hit the bullseye, maybe you've like perfectly described it, but still people will be like, yeah, well, what good does that do? You know, how does that help me? Or what should I do with this? Now, without being able to talk to Caitlin, that part would be really hard because the advice is totally dependent upon what kind of experience you're having with, you know, Mars retrograde in your 7th and Saturn squaring your Mercury and so on and so forth. Let's say, for example, that you're having conflicts in a relationship or that mental and emotional health problems are just blowing up in love and relationships. Then I would say, you know, with Saturn squaring Mercury, it'd be a good time, for example, to seek any kind of mediation or counseling or therapy or any kind of modality that could help you see things from a sort of 20,000 foot view to have some objectivity or something like that. If you need that kind of distance and perception, something along those lines. But it totally depends on kind of like what's coming up for a person. So let's see, I feel like I just saw Caitlin pop up. Caitlin, let's see here. Did you say something, Caitlin? I thought I saw your name flash up, but now I'm having a hard time finding it. I think you might have popped up here, Caitlin, but if you did, I can't, maybe you could put it in again. I can't see what you said because the chat goes so quickly. Oh, here it is. She said she's currently single. Okay, that's interesting. So if you're having these transits and you're currently single, then I would look at what's happening around other types of relationships, communication patterns, and basically your social life in a general sense, which is often what the seventh house will address when you're not in a relationship. It'll just have something to do with social dynamics and interpersonal relationships, or maybe in your case, also within the workplace. You could see themes related to technology, mental, emotional health, and the workplace. Sometimes with that combination also, it's like you'll see someone start going to therapy or find a healing modality that allows them to get in and understand something that's more unconscious. That could be demonstrated as well. You'd be surprised how many times seventh house transits will show up as a symbol for a therapist or a counselor or someone that you're talking with in a one-on-one dynamic. Even many therapists and counselors will have strong seventh houses simply because they interact with other people for a living. So sometimes it's about, you know, someone or something that's coming into your life and just giving you deeper access to some of that unconscious material indicated by the 12th house Mercury. So anyway, I hope that was useful for you, but just kind of tying a ribbon around my last point, depending on what a person is going through, there's then this whole next part of a conversation in a reading, which really has to do with, well, you know, what kind of approach or what kind of, you know, technique or strategy can you use to relate to or live through this season in order to learn and grow? Or, you know, if you're experiencing something from Saturn, it's how do you kind of work with Saturn so that maybe you're able to just get through it a little bit better. It just kind of depends on what each person is going through with regard to the transit. Now, I would say these experiences for you, Caitlin, are likely to go, January, February, March. Those 3 months in particular are where I would anticipate some of this showing up. it would also be possible that in the next few months you could meet someone, and that someone could be triggering the 12th house Mercury in Scorpio, which would be interesting. So anyway, okay, well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you coming on, Caitlin. I'm going to do two more, and then we'll call it a day. Let's just see who I have here. Okay, I'm going back up a little ways, and we're going to do Haley Hockham, someone from a different country I thought might be fun. So let's go to Haley. Thank you for volunteering. February 11th, 1991, 2:23 a.m. in Epsom. All right, got it. Try to get people from different parts of the world in, make sure that we're kind of spreading it out a little bit. Okay, so February 11th, 1991, 2:23 a.m., Epsom, England. Okay. So I'm going to do the same thing where I'm not going to put the transits in. I'm going to try to just do it off the top of my head, just to, again, demonstrate how useful it is. If you can just learn the daily positions of the planets, you can plug them in instantly and generate a list of things to talk about with a client. This is especially helpful, by the way, if you ever, as an astrologer, which at some point I feel like most astrologers do, end up doing a birthday party, a gathering of people. I used to do this thing called the... I can't remember it. The New Life Expo. I don't remember. It was like this new age, you know, it was like all sorts of practitioners. And I set up a booth, and I probably did like 100 readings over a weekend, you know, but they were all really quick. And so this skill, for example, is really great when you have to do rapid fire readings and you can't be super, you know, there's not a lot of prep involved. Which is often the case too, when, you know, you're learning astrology, you'll be somewhere social and someone like, can you look at my chart? You're out for coffee with a friend and you'll do that. Well, you want to have an approach that might be able to help you in the moment, look quickly at the most relevant things. All right, Haley, let's take a look. So, we have a couple of things to look at. Let's start again with Pluto. So we're going to draw, and I'm just going to do this actually a little bit more quickly this time. So Pluto's in the late degrees of Capricorn. It's right around the North Node right now, but not squaring anything in late Aries or Libra, not opposing anything in late Cancer. So Pluto's not making the biggest impression right now, although pretty soon it will conjoin Saturn. So that conjunction with Saturn is definitely a big deal. Pluto conjunction to natal Saturn is a pretty epic transit. So we'll probably talk about that one, but let's see what else is going on. Interesting. Okay, so Neptune's going to be hovering around the IC. It's not squaring, opposing anything, but Neptune's coming over the IC while Pluto's coming over Saturn, both together in the next year. And then let's go down to Uranus. Uranus will square the Sun in the next year, and that's happening around the same time that Neptune's on the IC. So that's a trifecta. You've got three outer planetary transits at the same time. Now, in this case, I actually am going to put up a bi-wheel because I want to show you the timing of it, which is really actually quite impressive in your case, Haley. So let me just, let's get this, let the outer planets in, get a bi-wheel up. All right. So check this out. So we're going to go forward a little bit. And what we want to do, and Saturn's going to come over your Sun, but it's pretty brief. So I'm not going to go into that. But this is what I really want you to see. There's actually a couple more things happening too. So here's Pluto coming in over Saturn. At the same time, Neptune is on the IC. Saturn has just ingressed into the fourth. And simultaneously around the same time. So we're just going to kind of take this forward a little bit. And you'll notice that as Pluto finishes with Saturn for the first time and Neptune still hovering closely around the IC, this is by late June, you get Uranus squaring your sun. So if you take that between March and late June, you get Pluto on your natal Saturn, Saturn ingressing into the fourth, Neptune on your IC, and Uranus squaring your sun. Boom, 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 boom. That's a lot. So that's a lot, yo. What can we say about it? Well, let me get down to the bottom of the comment section here. All right. Well, the first thing I would say is that in your chart, Haley, I think it's very likely that something around home and property is about to come up. And the reason for that is that it's the mega circle. Okay, there it is. Okay, so Pluto is going to be on Saturn. Saturn is ingressing into your fourth. Saturn rules your second house. So when you see Pluto, lord of this, you know, potent transformation, coming in over the ruler of money and finances, while natal Saturn transits into the fourth house of home and property, and while Neptune is going over the IC in the house of home and property, one major signification would be like a really significant move, buying or selling of property, buying your first home, moving in with someone, buying a house together with someone, buying a building and turning it into a business, something around real estate, property, investments, changing somehow. I think that would be one thing. Now, the second thing that could come up would be karma around family members, possibly siblings in particular with Saturn in the third house. So the same fourth house transits of Saturn ingressing into the fourth, Neptune on the IC, and Pluto going over the third house ruler could result in like maybe my sister is moving in with me for a while, or I'm moving in with my sister, you know. So something involving a sibling that could be quite dramatic or transformational. Then, you know, at the end, you have Uranus squaring the sun. That's fascinating to me because, you know, the sun is your ninth house ruler, and it feels like you've got natal Jupiter squaring, you've got transiting Jupiter and Taurus at that same time in June, squaring your natal Jupiter in the ninth house, while the ninth house ruler is getting a square from Uranus. That's weird. It feels like, you know, you put those things together, it's like, oh, well, is someone moving or relocating in order to go to school somewhere? Are they traveling abroad and learning a new skill? Or are they becoming religious? Or is there something spiritual or intellectual happening that is serving to change their mind or teach them something new, illuminate them? They're getting really passionate about something that they're going to start dedicating a lot of time and effort to studying or learning or practicing. Now, when you something that they're building or growing, but it's caused because of some higher philosophical commitment that's rising up and catching fire, you also get the feeling that this would relate back to, you know, the family, the living environment, home, land, property, business, finances, that those things are tied together. So it's a really interesting picture. I feel like you see this when someone decides to build a retreat center, or they, you know, they're building a community collective somewhere, or they are going on a pilgrimage somehow, or they're taking their father's ashes to the Ganges or something. And I don't mean to say your father will die. That might've sounded really ominous. What I just meant is that some kind of pilgrimage on behalf of something, you know, that is like ancestral and emotional and rooted in your family that could cause some kind of spiritual breakthrough or transformation. The other thing that comes to my mind anytime Uranus squares the sun is the father's karma, though. Like, how has dad had an impact on your life positively or negatively? And Uranus squaring the sun is often a time where your own individuation is being accelerated. Your growth as an individual is accelerating, but it does so in some sort of tension. There's some sort of tension that it's activating in relation to your father. Now, the sun being a symbol for father. So those are some different ideas that I would throw out there in as a way of looking at this big sequence you have from, you know, March through the end of June. Oh, look, Haley says, all of those points can be applicable to me, Adam. My sister has just sold her house and there is potential she is moving in. I'm doing a lot of family generational work in therapy at the moment. And my father and I have just rekindled our bond too. Wow. There you go. You know, that's astrology for the win. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, I love it when that kind of stuff happens. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly, those are exactly the kinds of things that I would anticipate. And it's just all you're doing, just so that people, if people are like, well, how did you get there? What you're learning to do very quickly is look at the key points in the chart that are being activated and look at what they have in common, right? Neptune at the IC, family, generational, home, property, Saturn entering the fourth, doubling down on the same themes. And then the financial house ruler being activated by Pluto. When you see the financial house activated by financial house ruler, Saturn being activated by Pluto, while all this stuff is happening around the roots, home, family, land, property, you get the feeling that some kind of business or financial or professional endeavor is shifting, while at the same time it's being linked to healing or work around family, home. And then an obvious connection would be something in real estate or property, you know, like that. And then Uranus squaring the sun would also suggest that whatever's happening, it's coming from a very inspired place. These steps are going to help you feel like you're taking, you know, that there's major growth happening in your evolutionary storyline, so to speak. So it's an exciting period for you. I would anticipate, Haley, that it might, Haley says, my father and I have rekindled our bond as he's building an extension on my home. Astrology for the win. That's it. That's fantastic. There it is. That is, I never get sick of this, you guys. I swear to God, like I do this. Thank you, Haley, so much. We really appreciate you. We pray that everything is, that this process you're about to go through is beautiful, healing, transformational. But I have to say, as an aside to everyone right now, including Haley, like this is why I do it. This is why I do this, because when I see clients every day of the week, when I talk to students, when I teach this material, when I study it from great astrologers, and I see that the planets are so literally and yet symbolically and artfully aligned with the unfolding of our lives, like my mind is blown and you'd think you'd get used to it, but no, I never get used to it. Like every single time I fall in love with it all over again. Like I just, yeah. And thank you. Thank you, Haley. We really appreciate you. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. It's just like, I remember when I first started learning astrology, it felt no different than it does right now when that kind of story pops up and correlates so nicely with some of the things that you're seeing when you look at a chart. I still feel as addicted to that beautiful, awe-inspiring moment, you know, as I did 13 years ago when I started all of this. So anyway, we'll do one more. Thank you so much, Haley. I'm going with Tyler Richards from Brooklyn. I was like, you know what? Let's get a bro in here because I'm like, oh my God, there's a guy. There's a dude. I'll take it. Let's do this. Thank you, Tyler. It is also like a million degrees in this room right now. I turned the heat on in here earlier, but I feel like the thermostat's like broken or something. I swear to God, it's like 90 degrees in this room right now. I'm not a sweater and I'm literally like, I'm so gross right now. Sorry, everyone. Okay, let's... okay, so we've got October 14th, 1994, 11:31 a.m., Brooklyn, New York. I miss Brooklyn sometimes, man. I lived in Brooklyn and I lived in Manhattan. I lived in West Village. I lived in Harlem. I lived in Bushwick and a couple other places. I feel like when you live in New York City and you're not from New York City, like I feel like people are always moving. Like I feel like all my friends were always moving apartments like once a year, maybe twice a year. It was such a pain in the butt to move in New York City too. But I really miss it. I feel like when you're in New York City, it feels like it's the epicenter of the universe somehow. I just like the pulse of New York City. I you know, I couldn't, me personally as a Cancer, like I feel really glad that I'm back home in Minnesota, but if there's any city that I could live, if somehow my path had took me down, if my, my journey had took me down the path of like being forever single and just like living a life with friends and art or something, like New York City would have been the place to do that. I love that place. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Tyler, we're going to look at your chart in the same way. Gosh, I think it was like unintentional that I just picked people with lots of Scorpio planets today, but that's just what happened. All right, let's take a look. October 14th, 1994, 11:31 a.m. I put in Brooklyn Heights, but I think it's close enough. So, all right. So, now we're going to do the same thing for Tyler that we did previously. We're going to start with, let's just do it super quick. Nothing conjoining from Pluto in late cap, nothing it's squaring. Wonder how your sun square was. Nothing opposing. Let's go again to Neptune, 22 degrees, not conjoined, not squaring, not opposing. Let's go down to Uranus. Okay, well, we've got some action going on from Uranus, who's hovering right around mid-Taurus, getting on the south node, opposing Jupiter and Venus. That's pretty exciting. That's a, we might want to talk about that one. Let's go down a little bit more. Saturn's coming over. Oh, you've got a Saturn return and it's coming over your moon. That's what we're going to talk about. Look at that. So yeah. All right. So this is basic. Saturn's going to come over the moon in Aquarius, and then it is moving right into, he's moving right into his Saturn return. So I'm sure that there are a whole group of people in this live stream right now who could give you great advice for like surviving your first Saturn return. Let me say a few things generally about Saturn returns, and I would, let's invite everybody in the chat box who has lived through a Saturn return. What advice would you give to Tyler? And please make it uplifting because the last thing you want to do is scare people. In fact, there was an ancient astrologer who said, if you see something difficult in a chart, give them their hard fate by degree, which was his way of saying, you know, don't give someone something that they can manage and deal with, even if what you're seeing looks more difficult, you know? So look at your, Tyler, turn your attention to the chat box where all these wise, beautiful souls are going to give you some advice about the Saturn return while I give you my thoughts about it. It takes a village with a Saturn return. I feel like you need to hear like different voices and people who have lived through one who know astrology. To me, a Saturn return is a moment, it's, you know, it's your late 20s, right until around 30 years old. And it represents Saturn having gone all the way around the zodiac and returning to the place that it was at when you were born. I time out the Saturn return between the time that it enters the sign that your natal Saturn is in this case, Pisces, and the time it leaves. But some people will do it differently. So roughly March 7th of 2023, all the way into 2026, 2025, you'll get some retrogrades in and out of Aries, but from Aries back to Pisces, but you know, a few years now. Think generally, before we even look at any topics, right, in the chart itself, there's general advice that I give to all my clients going through a first Saturn return. And I have a lot, I feel like I have a lot less advice to give people with their second Saturn return because I haven't lived through one, you know? Although I have things that I can say that I've heard a lot of people say, I think, and our last client, Haley's given you some good advice right there. In a sense, Saturn is like the great no. And so for people who are really ambitious about things that are not going to work for whatever reason, your destiny, your fate, the practical nature of the situation doesn't allow for it, Saturn will show up during the return and often give you some hard no's. And those no's, if taken in stride, if received with curiosity, and with patience and trust, those no's often become like the negative space that is slowly carving, you know, the block of wood into its specific shape, or the negative space in like a photograph or a painting or whatever. When you take the nose of a Saturn return and you let them inform your almost like the next stage of your life, not that it's all going to be determined by exactly what you choose to do during your Saturn return. I think that's a pretty big exaggeration in most cases, but it's just the next couple of steps that will start to shape this new adult phase of life between, say, 30 and the late 50s. They will hang on what you initiate at that time, or what you carry through with at that time, or what you're cultivating or developing that has been able to accept the no's that are coming in. This won't work, this can't happen, blah, blah, blah. During my Saturn return, for example, I broke off an engage. I was engaged to be married and broke up with my fiance. And then I got really clear about like what went wrong with me, with this, you know, the patterns and so forth. And during that Saturn return, I then met my wife, and we started dating. So I always take that as like, not that that happens in every Saturn return, right? But that there's things that just aren't going to work. And it's painful sometimes to go through the negation process of a Saturn return, but they also become like the foundation or the cornerstones for what you might build that comes next. That's one thing that I've noticed from Saturn returns. The other thing that I would say about Saturn returns is, you may not be getting a no from the universe, but you may be deciding to say no to someone or something. If, for example, if you, how can I put it? If you get clear about who you are and who you aren't, the with Saturn returns, the piece about I am not this, right? Like I'm not, I thought I was going to be, for example, during mine, I came to realize that I thought that I wanted to be a teacher, English teacher. And I realized at the very beginning of my Saturn return, I am not an English teacher. And I thought that was what that was what I went to school for, 2 graduate degrees. And I thought that's where I was heading. And then all of a sudden I was like, I am not a teacher. Now I didn't know that I would become an astrologer until almost the very tail end of my Saturn return. But it was just committing to the no. So sometimes you get a no, and sometimes it's also just about taking a next step in faith, you know, not knowing what's coming, but knowing it can't be this or it can't be that. So I think there's this whole part about Saturn returns that have to do with negation. Now there's this other part of a Saturn return that I think has to do with hard work. I'm going to work at something really hard, or something I have been working at, you know, for a long time, that you're going to see some of the results of hard work. So sometimes Saturn returns are also just about like, well, you worked really hard and now you get something amazing. Look at Ollie saying, I paid off all my debts, gave up addictions, learned about astrology, became more authentic. It was hard, but all worth it. It gives you strong foundations to build the rest of your life. There you're going. There you go. And here's my buddy Spencer saying hello. Spencer's an amazing astrologer. Check him out too. Yeah. Let's see, there was another one I was just going to share. This is a good piece of advice from Astral Omens. Tyler, just remember that everything is happening for you and not against you. And then someone making a nice note here, Lori saying, we are all teachers to those who we might teach. Yes, I meant that thought I was going to be an English teacher, quite literally. So, and I just realized I'm not going to be an English teacher. But I think... everyone's advice that's coming through is very similar. A lot of people are mentioning that during a Saturn return, you have to, there's like if you work hard on certain things, they start to bear fruit, or you're planting seeds that will in a while. So I think those are some of the biggest things that, that I would look for. So hard work, getting no's and accepting them, or saying no to things and accepting them. Sometimes it is the first, it's like an initiation into adulthood that can be, you know, sort of painful. And what I would say though, is that, patience and, accepting of the next phase of responsibility and maturity spiritually. And I don't think that means becoming boring or having less fun. It just means you have to become more responsible to the soul image that wants to make its way up like acorn into oak tree. And you're like, okay, there's no way out of what my soul wants to do and become. And it's not going to be easy to get there, but I have to commit to it at a deeper level. And whatever that deeper level looks like, it's different from person to person. And I think there's a misunderstanding that it means that life gets more boring or serious or strict. It doesn't. I think it gets more soulful, but the soulful path is like, in some ways, it's like the path of a plant working its way up through the concrete during a Saturn return. It's like narrower, but like a birth canal in a sense. So anyway, those are my ramblings. I hope they help. Now, let's... like the Saturn is the principle of the school of life. If you skip the steps, the class, you'll get reprimanded. In the end, if you do the steps needed, you graduate. That's a good one. And Tyler throwing up a thank you for the advice, everyone. Now let's talk specifically, Tyler, about your Saturn return. This is it's hitting the moon and then it's going in. So between say February and March, especially say the beginning of February and about March 7th, you're going to see Saturn going over the moon and then going into the fourth house and starting its return. So you're hitting on two areas of life that are intimately connected to one another in the symbol of the moon and the symbolism of the fourth house, the symbolism of the third house too. The third house was called the joy of the moon in ancient astrology. And so the advice that I would have would be the next couple of years, but especially the next 6 months, will involve an exploration of your roots. Now, that could be cultural, historical, ancestral, familial, things like siblings, parents, the family you were raised in. With Saturn so close to the moon in your chart, the moon was in what we call an application to conjoin with Saturn. And so I wonder in what ways you stand out or are different from your family of origin. Saturn moon applying conjunction when you were born will often mean that there's some way in which your life path is like, you know, there's like the black sheep motif where it's like, oh, you know, we all do this thing, but Tyler, boy, he's doing something totally different. You know what I mean? So I would wonder about, you know, getting to a place right now where your life is deepening into that theme of being different or apart from, or in some ways separate from your family of origin, or the expectations that your family had, whether those were religious or cultural or, you know, whatever. So that's one thing that comes to my mind right away, which is pretty typical of an Aquarius moon ruled by Saturn in the fourth as well. The other thing that would come up would be like death or loss of grandparents when you have the moon and Saturn kind of being joined together by transiting Saturn. You get the feeling of like maybe a grandmother that's ready to leave her body, something like that. Now that would be, I think, maybe one of the more painful manifestations, but hopefully, you know, and I always like to say, if something like that's going to happen with Saturn, it's oftentimes because they've lived a full life and they're older, you know? And so, but that transition, if someone in the family were to pass, say a grandparent or something, very moon Saturn, it may be that that passage is coinciding with a deeper level of change happening within you psychologically that's a part of this initiation into the quote-unquote adult phase of life that a Saturn return indicates. Sometimes moving, relocating, visiting old wounds from family or home. Sometimes it's about finding what feels like home or family, what does or does not grant a sense of emotional security, what could come up around a feeling, you know, a feeling of belonging to someone or something versus feeling other, and how that tension of needing to belong but also standing apart and being different could be amplified. You have a lot of 12th house planets in your chart. Some of them are also being activated by Uranus in the next year, which could mean that some of these themes involve like love, sexuality, relationships. Your ascendant ruler is Jupiter. Venus is with Jupiter. So identity and sexuality come to mind. Uranus opposing those two planets, right, could be activating the need to individuate further along the lines of identity and sex and love and relationships. Mars retrograde in the seventh right now could be, amplifying that a little bit too. And then again, Saturn passing over the moon and then Saturn in the fourth. Sometimes you see Uranus opposing Venus around the same time, a breakup, and we've been living together, but we're moving out, something like that. But I wouldn't go, you know, if you're with someone and that sounds scary, then I would just say, look, it's probably not going to happen unless there's fault lines there that you can feel. And if I say that and it goes, oh yeah, I could see it going there because we fight a lot or whatever, then okay. But you know, if things are hunky dory, it probably wouldn't just be like, oh, all of a sudden our wonderful relationship goes out the window. But there could be some changes that are deeper and more difficult to process around, you know, a lover or their like a spouse or a loved one's family. So, you know, the moon and Saturn, when they're brought together by Saturn, tend to pull on those deeper, more vulnerable spaces emotionally. But we can also at times feel very alone in processing those things, or feel like we're seeking some kind of emotional solace and sense of belonging during a time where we feel excluded somehow. Anyway, these are just some of the things that I am thinking about here as they're coming up. But I'd love to hear from Tyler, see what Tyler's saying here. Anything that resonates, Tyler? Tyler says, considering traveling to my parents' birthplace for a family reunion next June. Well, that would be very interesting. Certainly that would seem to line up, you know, with the symbolism of a Saturn return for sure. Anything else that came to mind in hearing all of this, Tyler, from everyone about Saturn return or for anything else? Okay, wait, I see. Oh, just lost my dad last month. Okay, my grandmother was expected to pass last year, but still with us now. Gosh, I'm sorry to hear that, but that's what we would anticipate from around that's what you're coming into right now, right? It's a time of processing deeper, heavier themes around home, family, roots, parents, with Saturn hitting those places. I'm really sorry to hear about that. That's tough. You know, the thing that makes me feel good, and if it doesn't make you feel good, that's okay. I don't think you need to feel good, but the thing that makes me feel good, I remember when Saturn came over my moon, my grandmother passed. And the thing that made me feel, I mean, that it was hard and the pain wasn't like gone, but I was just like, well, there it is in the stars, you know? And when you can see it reflected in the heavens, I don't know, there's something dignifying about it. There's just something that it's, to have your pain validated by the heavens is dignifying to me, and dignifying to know your father or your grandmother or whoever. So yeah, that's what comes to my mind. But it would be really interesting to hear from you, Tyler, if you ever want to email me as the transit comes along and just say, hey, remember, you know, you read my chart on YouTube Live or whatever. It's info@nightlightastrology.com. I would love to hear how some of those transits go, and prayers for you and your family as you go along. The Saturn return would be transformational and would confirm and affirm all that is, you know, good and kind of help you along your way into the next phase. I look at my Saturn return now and I'm like, God, it was hard, but it was a good time. It really made me who I am in so many ways. Okay, well, I'm just going to, one last time, I'm going to plug the Kickstarter. Thank you everybody who has donated so far. I'm coming on and doing these live readings as a way of promoting the Kickstarter and trying to get us closer to our goal. So we have had a bunch of donations actually come in while we've done this live. Thank you so much. We are at 271 backers right now. Is it possible that we could get to 300 today? That would be amazing. Here is the link in the comments section. And I just want to remind you that when you head over there, I'll show you right now, you can pick a variety of rewards when you donate, including 50% off to all of my online courses. Check out my courses on my website if you want to learn more about them first. They're all listed there so you can learn about everything. Again, year one, year two, horary readings and passages, 4 years worth of amazing content that can be taken remotely or live. And you can use those credits from the Kickstarter whenever you want. So there's no rush to use them right away, whenever it's a good time for you and you feel like jumping in. You can bundle them together and save. And there's a bunch of readings and talks that I do that I don't release anywhere else. I'm trying to get to 1,608 backers by the new year. And if we get there, the big goal realized will be the development of a donation-based reading clinic for people to receive readings who maybe are having a harder time financially or who otherwise couldn't afford one. So, you know, you guys are supporting, if this channel is helpful for you and it gives you something good, and if you appreciate the goals that we're working toward, please donate, pitch in. We really appreciate it. There's a link one more time in the chat box. It'll be in the description of this video if you are watching it later, as well as the comments section below. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you again on Monday. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.